Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Hello in Jesus' name. What a great day to be alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, we're surrounded by causes of stress. Life is full of complications, and because of the cursed state of our world, we have many causes for dismay. But stress is very damaging. It's very hurtful to us. And there is a way to live stress-free in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the only one that can deliver us from these problems? Who is the only one that can give us peace in the midst of these problems? Only you, Lord. From their project entitled Let Your Glory Fall, this is Phillips Craig and Dean singing Only You.
Only you. You alone are worthy of the glory, Lord. And every crown we'll ever wear, we lay it down. We bow our knees, we confess. You are Lord all by yourself. You reign alone upon your throne of righteousness. Only you.
Yeah.
promised, we're going to play for you the second part of the message that we preached to our church entitled, The Master of Change. Let's roll the tape.
We get in the habit of thinking that faith is based on being able to understand what God is doing. Faith is not about being able to understand what God is doing. Faith is about trusting God's heart and His will and His motives, even when you cannot understand what His hand is doing. Folks, think about all of the woe and the heartache and the pain and the physical problems and the economical problems and everything else that Elder Harris and his family have been through. You say, I can't understand what God is doing. Yes, welcome to the club. Faith is not about understanding what His hand is doing. Faith is about trusting His heart even when you don't understand what His hand is doing. For every young person that stands strong and lives for God, even when you're not around the group here, I congratulate you for your faith.
That's right. Amen.
There's a scripture that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And can I tell you that your heart sneaks out in a whole lot of places other than just your mouth? Jesus said it this way. If you read the words of Jesus, it was astounding. The Mosaic law recognized that these matters were heart issues. But since the Mosaic law was mainly intended to point out where we're wrong, so that we can see our need of a Savior and appreciate the Savior when He comes, the Mosaic law in and of itself does not address the heart issues, but it does legislate and criminalize the behaviors that result from the heart issues. So where the Old Testament condemned the action of murder, the New Testament condemned the heart of hate. Where the Old Testament condemned the act of adultery, the New Testament condemned the heart of lust. The Old Testament was about punishing outward actions, about legislating against outward actions, about criminalizing outward actions. The New Testament is about recognizing that the heart is the source of all of that stuff.
Amen.
Jesus said it's out of a man's heart that proceeds murderers and adultery and fornication. He said it comes from the heart. So it is, folks. If in your heart you don't really trust Him, it sneaks out. It sneaks out in how you talk. It sneaks out in how you act, how you dress, who your friends are. Folks, can I tell you, there is one kind of friendship that I have with someone who is lost, and there is another kind of fellowship friendship that I have with someone who is saved. And when your fellowship is with lost people, you say, but aren't we supposed to reach them? There's a difference between a bridge of friendship that is built for the purpose of reaching them and them being your fellowship bosom buddies. There's a difference. The Bible says, what fellowship hath light with darkness? What's in your heart sneaks out. It sneaks out in how you dress. It sneaks out in how you talk. It sneaks out in who you fellowship with. And it sneaks out in things like worry, stress, doubt, frustration. Folks, there is the carnal me, and the carnal me would have wigged out. There's the carnal me, and the carnal me would have been looking to see who I could get fired. There's the carnal me, and the carnal me wants to work it out in our own abilities and our own finances and our own human understanding. And then there's the me that has faith in God that prays, and God just says, trust me. You say, Pastor Joseph, do you have it worked out yet? No. We don't know what the underwriter's going to say. We don't even know what the regional president's going to say. We don't know whether it's going to go through or not. You say, are you stressed? No. I am not stressed. Why? The circumstance hasn't really changed. You're right. The circumstance hasn't really changed. Folks, Carnal flesh wants to worry and fret and have concern and have stress. But in your spiritual self where you trust God, you just say, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm trusting God. And if that underwriter thinks that he can thwart God, he doesn't know who he's messing with. Amen. And folks, just like that precious little newborn baby that's born, they do not stress or worry one moment where their next meal is coming from. They just trust. That is a picture for how we need to be. That is true. They do let you know. They're not like, I don't know where my next meal is coming from. They're like, I do know where it's coming from, and I'm letting you know that I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it right now. Isn't it funny? They have one kind of cry when the daddy's holding them, but as soon as they get in mama's hands, they're like, I'm close to the source. Folks, that's really a perfect example of what intercessory prayer ought to be. Right. Intercessory prayer is, I recognize that in this atmosphere of faith, in this atmosphere of anointing, I'm close to my source. And so I begin to cry out to the source. Amen. Ask, seek, knock. Isn't it amazing that in the English language, ask, seek, knock spells an acronym of ASK? Isn't that amazing? It's in the English language. I don't know if it happened in any other language. But he's the master of change. They run out of wine. And now we know that refers to grape juice that might possibly have fermented a little bit. It was not the hard liquor they have today. Basically, they had water, which had a lot of microbes in it that sometimes killed them, but sometimes they survived it. Their immune system was built up to tolerate a lot of stuff that would kill us today. It's all rocky and hilly. They'll have olive trees, and if they were lucky, they'd have olive trees and grapevine. And I actually saw a wine press. It was on this rocky, hilly farm, and they had this little rock outcropping on this little slope. And they had actually just taken and just chiseled into the rock and made a little place there. And they chiseled a little path for the wine to come down and go into a place in the rock that was down below that, that was like a little natural cistern. And they get the grapes, and they put them over here on this upper ledge, and they'd stomp on them, and the grape juice would come over and flow down and go down into this area. And then they would just simply lay a blanket on top of that to keep the leaves and flies out of it. And then they would just leave it. And all the impurities would settle to the bottom. And then they'd come along with a leather bottle, and they'd fill that leather bottle, and they'd close it up. And then as a natural fermentation process happened, that there would be expansion, and that new leather would be able to expand, and so they would have a wineskin. And this is why the Bible says you can't put new wine in old wineskins, because when the expansion process happens, the already old, dried, expanded leather can't handle it, and it bursts, and you lose your wine. And that wine took a long time to get. It took a long time to grow those grapes. It took a lot of work to stomp on them. It took a lot of time for the impurities to settle. It took a long time to make that leather skin. And only somebody who was dumb would put new wine in old wineskins. They not only left that wine sitting to get the impurities to settle on the bottom, they also did that with water. And so it is that they had these big water pots, and they would fill them with water, and then they would just let them set. And the impurities would settle to the bottom. And this is the source. The Lord Jesus is at a wedding. And atrocity of atrocities. They've got guests and food, but they've run out of wine. It can happen. Well, it would be a total breach of etiquette to serve water to these people. We've invited them to a feast. Nobody knows what they're going to do. The guests are all like, oh, awkward. On the way home, we'll laugh about how he has egg on his face. A wedding feast and no wine. What was he thinking? And Mary just turns to Jesus. She looks at her son and says, they have no wine. Jesus says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. This is what I love about Mary. Here is the human manifestation of the God of the universe, the human manifestation of the creator of the universe, standing here saying, mine hour has not yet come. She ignores him. She's the mom. She's not the mom of the creator, but she's the mom of the humanity of the creator. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? She's not the mother of God. She's the mother of the human manifestation of God. There's a difference. But this human manifestation, which the human mouthpiece for God says, mine hour is not yet come. She doesn't even answer him. She talks to the servants instead. She turns to the servants and she says, whatsoever he says to you, do it. Talk about putting him on the spot. What did that say? That said, I know that I gave birth to you. I know that the part of you that I can touch is just a human. But I believe that you're more than that. I remember what the angel said. I remember the circumstances surrounding your birth. I've pondered all these things in my heart and kept them in my heart. And I believe you are more than my baby. You are more than my flesh. You are more than my son. You are the human manifestation of God. You are the Mashiach. You're the Messiah. Not only that, I believe somehow you can do something about this. The amazing thing is that what she did and what she said and the way she responded to the problem placed something into Jesus' hands. Something called faith. And there's this thing about God. If you put faith in his hands, he can't not respond. It's part of who he is. It's part of his character. It's what the whole issue of salvation is wrapped up in. My salvation is based on faith in God. I'm trusting his heart. I'm not trusting in my own goodness. My own goodness can't save me, no matter how hard I try. It's the goodness of God. It's God's heart I'm trusting in. And that trust placed into his hands is called faith. And so Jesus is standing here with this faith that's been entrusted to him, and he can't not respond. His hour has not yet come. She just made it his hour. It wasn't his time to start yet, but she put faith into his hands, and he had to start. It was the beginning of miracles. And so he turns to the servants and he says, go and draw water into these vessels. And she had told him to do whatever he said. So they did. So these big pots that were sitting over there, that were sitting there waiting so impurities can settle to the bottom, they went over and they drew water. And he said, now take the water and give it to the governor of the feast. Somewhere between when they drew the water and when they put it on the table in front of the governor of the feast, it changed from water into wine. He's the master of change. Somewhere between, it can't be done and let's just trust God, something changes. Somewhere between, I can't see it through, I don't know how it's going to happen, and I'm just going to trust God, something changes. Because the power of God is revealed when we have faith in him. The people say, I'm a church builder. I'm not a church builder. He's a church builder. I don't know how to get it done, but he knows how to get it done. Hey, folks, there just happens to be a little Bible verse where Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. Folks, if this was just your church or just my church, we'd be in a world of problems. Amen. Somebody said, oh, I went up to Pastor Joseph's church. This ain't Pastor Joseph's church. This is our church. But even more than our church, it's His church. He said, I will build my church. Hey, folks, if the underwriter comes around or doesn't come around, Jesus will build His church. If this works out or it doesn't work out, Jesus will build His church. My faith is that God is going to work this out. But my faith is more than that. My faith is that God's going to work this out, but if He doesn't, I'll trust God anyhow. You can always tell those who don't have faith. Any old excuse is enough reason to backslide. Well, if God really this or that, then God would not have allowed her to do that to me. What she did to you has nothing to do with God. Have faith. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And while hell and unrighteousness vexes us and it swirls all around us, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So here we are. Here we stand. We are vexed. We are surrounded by situations on every side that are sources of frustration, causes of concern, sources of worry. And in the midst of all of that, the Lord says, trust me. Moses led the people out, and they came to a place where they had Pharaoh's army behind them and a Red Sea in front of them, and mountains on the left and mountains on the right, and they were totally trapped. And God just says, trust me. What could possibly happen here? They have swords and spears and armor and chariots and horses, and we have nothing but suitcases. We have no place to go. Just remember this. He's the master of change.
That's right.
He can change the laws of nature so fire will not burn you. He can change the laws of nature so that water will stand up and form a wall on either side. I always get a kick at these people that think that it was just a low place and they just forded through in a low place. Tell me something. How does shallow water drown horsemen and chariots? They didn't just walk across at a shallow place. There were walls of water standing on either side. I wonder what it was like inside the furnace. Were there walls of fire on either side with this little air-conditioned chamber right inside? How you doing? They want to take away your rights. I encourage you to vote. I encourage you to prayerfully consider the candidates. I encourage you to read the legislation. If you get called for jury duty, I encourage you to serve. I encourage you to participate as a citizen. But remember, you have a citizenship that's higher than that in the United States of America. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. And if they take away your rights down here, they cannot take away your rights up there. And just like you can have a wall of water, and just like you can have a wall of fire, you can have a wall of economic problems, you can have a wall of political problems, you can have a wall of family problems, you can have as many different kind of walls as you want. But if you have faith, there can be a wonderful, comfortable, air-conditioned chamber right in the middle of your problem. You can have a wall of doctor's reports. You can have a wall of physical problems and sickness. You can have a wall of financial woes, and you can have a wall of family problems. And right in the midst of it all, you can be free from worry, free from doubt, free from stress. You know, stress will kill you. Stress is a shortcut to the grave. You'll die years earlier. Do you know stressed people get sick when they would not have gotten sick if they had not been stressed? Did you know that stress wears your immune system down, which exposes you to viruses that you cannot beat, and there are certain viruses that cause cancer. Not all cancers are caused by viruses, but some are. You can actually get cancer from stress. Stress ruins people's marriages. Stress ruins people's jobs. And it ruins their health. If you get nothing else out of this message today, you need to get this. If you are stressed, you need to trust God and let go of the stress.
Amen.
Now, I'm not trying to be childish. I'm just trying to be childlike. And what I'm going to ask you to do may seem a little childlike, but remember that Jesus said that we have to become as that little child. I want you to take and I want you to cup your hands together. And I want you to put all of your stress and all of your worry and every situation that you have doubts and concerns and confusion, every situation that's troubling you that you don't know how it's going to be worked out, you don't have the power to work it out, whatever it is, the wall of fire, whatever it is, the wall of water, whatever it is, the wall of concern, I want you to put those issues into your hand. And I want you to wrap them in faith. Go ahead, wrap them in faith. And now, I want you to imagine that you just gift wrapped a package for the only one who can do something about it. And I want you to come to the altar and give him that gift. Just come on and just lay that gift right on the altar. And seek him in prayer. We get close to the source, we begin to intercede. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you even in the midst of all this reports from the doctors about platelets. We trust you, God. Lord, thank you that we can trust you even in the midst of these reports about the nerves and the damage to the back. Lord, we lay all this before your throne. We place faith in you, Lord Jesus. We trust you, God. Hallelujah. I hear the Spirit saying, trust me. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, trust me.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.